The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
San Francisco. Everyone sing along. Follow the bouncing, well, I would say ball. But since the bums are now crapping in the street like dogs, San Francisco's become not the laughing stock of the world, but the toilet bowl of the world. Welcome to the Savage Nation. There are a lot of news stories out there, including the tragedy of a disgruntled employee who was once fired after fabricating claims of racism, picking up a gun and killing a young woman reporter and her newsman, point-blank range, and then posting it on his Facebook page. The killer was fired after fabricated claims of racism. We have other stories to talk about, but the one I want to lead with on the Savage Nation is the picture of a bum crapping in the streets of San Francisco openly as though it's a toilet. Now, of course, you may remember there was a young lady named Steinle who was shot in cold blood by an illegal immigrant a few months ago with a gun he claims he found under a bench. That's not been followed up by the city fathers or city mothers or the city transgendered, whoever runs the city, it's hard to tell. The bums are out of control. Crime is out of control. After the story of the homeless infestation, which we're going to talk about, there's another story out of San Francisco. Just yesterday afternoon, on the crookedest street in San Francisco, known to everyone as the windingest street, known as Lombard Street, no crime. Two guys pull up in a car, grab a camera from a tourist from Thailand, and then shoot him in the shoulder when the Thai tourist ran after them. In the middle of the day, the robbers, undescribed, jumped into a red sedan and sped away. But an officer spotted the getaway vehicle driving onto the San Francisco Bay Bridge and gave chase. CHP officers, hats off to them, nabbed one of the suspects and recovered a gun as they stopped in a rental neighborhood in the Oakland area. The other robber took off running. Who has not been, he's just been found when he was cornered by members of the SF Police Department Tactical Division and an Emeryville Police Canine Unit. Now, we do not know if these gentlemen were doing so because of any grievances, but we do know that San Francisco has now become virtually uninhabitable because of the bums crapping in the street, because of the robbery and the crime that's being covered up. And I don't blame the police. I blame liberalism. Liberalism is a mental disorder, and wherever super liberals take over, the cities go to the toilet bowl. Look at New York. I was just there last week. You take your life in your hands, walking around with the folks with the box cutters underneath the cup, the shaking cup. But I want to talk about the bums in San Francisco, the bums in New York. In other words, what you call homeless. The word homeless itself is a fabrication of the radical left, because so far as I know, there is no biblical, let's talk about the Constitution, not the Bible. Can anyone show me where in the Bible it says I owe a bum a house? Show me where it says I owe them a house. What I owe them is a jail cell or a mental hospital. That's the only housing that they're entitled to. So the bums are now so brazen because the cops have been neutralized by the liberals, that they're literally openly defecating and peeing in the streets in front of people. Now, you know the city for its Golden Gate Bridge, the mixture of cultures and races, the beautiful fog, and mainly the bums, the out-of-control bums who came into the city mainly during the hippie era. They urinate in your face now. They've been doing this for a long time. It has gotten real bad under the new mayor, Mayor Ed Lee. The worst mayor in the history of San Francisco has brought about a crime wave unseen in the city's history. And so I ask you on the Savage Nation across the country, how would you solve the homeless infestation? There are answers ranging from the liberal answer, which is build them all houses, and you well know what would happen if you gave every bum a house or an apartment. They would destroy it. They would destroy it within 30 days. They would become uninhabitable cesspools. The other side says, lock them up, put them in a mental hospital. Now, I want to talk about that side of it. As you well know, most of the homeless bums are mentally ill or overt criminals hiding from the law. I've known this for years. They're extremely dangerous as a population. Not all, but many of them are extremely dangerous criminals hiding out as homeless. The other class are mentally ill who belong in mental hospitals. But Governor Jerry Brown's father, Governor Edmund Pat Brown, closed the state mental hospitals by law. And then when Ronald Reagan became governor, he had to follow the law. And he went ahead and followed Edmund Pat Brown's law and closed the mental hospitals. As a result, people who would normally be locked up for doing things along the lines of crapping in the street, urinating in the street, spitting on people, etc., breaking windows, would be arrested. They would be considered mentally incompetent, and they'd be put in a place where they can get the care that they need, which is a mental hospital. But all the mental hospitals were closed. Now, I have said we should reopen the mental hospitals. I've said this as far as 15 years ago on the Savage Nation. What solution do you have for the out-of-control infestation of bums in the United States of America? There is a solution. Not every country on earth is plagued by bums. Countries that are plagued by liberal politicians are plagued by bums. Countries which are run by sane individuals are not plagued by bums. And so I ask you what you would do as a citizen of the United States of America if you were asked to advise the leadership of the country how to get rid of the homeless infestation in San Francisco, New York, Chicago, Washington, D.C. It's perhaps per capita worse in my hometown of San Francisco. Now, I got to tell you something. I moved here in 1974, and I was charmed by the city. I thought it was gorgeous. When I came back from New York last weekend, I couldn't wait to get into San Francisco. And so I went into the city. As you know, I have multiple dwellings. I move around for obvious reasons. I'm not in the same place for many nights in a row. I move around from one to the other. I have done this for years. I did not stay more than 30 minutes until I fled out of San Francisco. Nothing happened overtly to me. There was a feeling in San Francisco of filth and disorder and an undertone of violence that had me leave the city almost immediately, far worse than in New York. This city is a city that is easily deceives you, and you could see it in the architecture of the city. There was a joke that went around when I first moved here in 74 and was looking for a house. I had a realtor who drove me around. He was a very funny guy. He's a nice gay guy. And he said, oh, in this city, what we have is called a Queen Anne front and a Mary Anne behind. Well, I laughed hysterically. That's San Francisco to a T. It's a Queen Anne front and a Mary Anne behind. And the facade has crumbled a long time ago. The stucco has come off the facade. The city is now nakedly exposed for what it is. It's not a charming city of I left my heart and said bring flowers in your hair at all. It's disgusting. And what we need is a strike force. First, we need the FBI to come in and get to the bottom of the corruption. It is the most corrupt city in the United States of America. And by the way, you know and I know there are billions of dollars being stolen out of the state on a daily basis. High-speed railroad to nowhere. That's on a state level. The streets are broken. Go and try to drive on Lombard Street going to the Golden Gate Bridge. Ask yourself where the highway funds went. Go and look at the approach to the Golden Gate Bridge and see if you can ride in it without an SUV with snow tires, without damaging your wheels. We have roads in San Francisco that are an embarrassment to the world. Malaysia has better roads than we have here. And yet billions of dollars are spent. Where do the billions of dollars go? Where are the highway funds? No one has an answer for that. But what would you do with the bums? That's what I'm asking you. Let's use common sense. There is nothing in the Constitution that says we are required to give a person who is either lazy or, let's say, mentally incompetent a house. Certainly, we don't want to hurt them, so we put them in institutions. And we used to have institutions. They were called mental hospitals, where they were given meals, they were given a clean bed, they were given showers. But most importantly, they were supervised to keep them under control. Because society at large cannot supervise the number of people that are now roaming the streets who call themselves homeless. They shake a cup at you, and if you don't give them what they want, they threaten you or they insult your wife, they insult your daughter. It's out of control. And now they're openly defecating and urinating in the streets of San Francisco. And, of course, we have a crime wave in San Francisco that the old city fathers, mothers, or transgenders who run it don't want you to know about. The fact is that the city is out of control because liberalism is a mental disorder. It cannot manage anything for one primary reason. Liberalism runs on the premise of tolerance. Everyone says, well, what's wrong with tolerance, Michael Savage? Aren't we supposed to be tolerant of others? Yes, we are. But ultra-tolerance is what is destroying the United States of America. We are ultra-tolerant of the bums. We are ultra-tolerant of the drug addicts. We're ultra-tolerant of, on an international level, the worst terrorist the world has seen since Adolf Hitler, called ISIS. Why are we so tolerant of the rapes, the murders, and the kidnappings on an international level? Barack Obama is very tolerant of ISIS and has no tolerance for the American people who voted out all of his left-wing fanatical policies. So I open it up to you. What would you do with them? How would you get rid of the homeless bums in the United States of America in a humane way? What would you do with this scourge? If, let's say, Donald Trump becomes president. We hope he cleans up the country. Well, hope he becomes president, but he's not going to clean up every problem in the country overnight. But that's a separate issue. And you're the advisor. You're now the special advisor on homelessness in America. Of course, the word homeless was an invention of the liberal community itself. That implies that they're entitled to a home. No, they're entitled to a cot in a mental hospital or a cot in the jail cell. That's about what they're entitled to. They're not entitled to a home. And the proof is they cannot manage themselves in a home. If you see them in a home, they usually destroy what they're given. They will not care for themselves because they don't want to or they can't. So having said that, again, the primary issue is how would you solve the homeless infestation? And while you're calling 855-407-282, we'll play Tony Bennett and his great song, Come to San Francisco. No, that's the one. Well, he didn't leave his heart in San Francisco. He has to change the lyrics. From I left my heart in San Francisco, it's something else now. You leave your shoes in San Francisco after you come here on a visit. You throw them out at the airport. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Yeah, and be sure to wear galoshes and a raincoat. A bulletproof vest wouldn't be a bad idea if you're down on the Embarcadero and an illegal alien happens to find a gun under a bench and wants to shoot some sea lions. Make sure you're not caught in the crossfire. So a bulletproof vest would be good. Galoshes, sure, to avoid the urine in the streets. And a raincoat in case you want to sit down somewhere and you don't want to get some fecal matter on your clothing. If you think I'm exaggerating, go to michaelsavage.com, take a look at the article linked up from the San Francisco newspaper, and you'll see them literally defecating in the open. Now, how did this happen? How did we get here? What would you do to end the scourge, the pandemic of the bums in the streets? Well, let's start with who put them in the streets. I have an article that I researched for you from 1984 from the New York Times, if you could believe it, when the New York Times was still a newspaper of note. This article by Richard Lyons is entitled, How Release of Mental Patients Began. The policy that led to the release of most of the nation's mentally ill patients from the hospital to the community is now widely regarded as a major failure, he wrote, 1984. Sweeping critiques of the policy, notably the recent report of the American Psychiatric Association, have spread the blame everywhere, faulting politicians, civil libertarian lawyers, and psychiatrists. But who specifically played some of the more important roles in the formation of this ill-fated policy? What motivated these influential people and what lessons are to be learned? This is all from 1984. In California, for example, the number of patients in state mental hospitals reached a peak of 37,000 in 1959 when Edmund G. Brown was governor. It fell to 22,000 when Ronald Reagan attained that office in 1967 and continued to decline under his administration and that of his successor, Edmund G. Brown, Jr. The senior Mr. Brown now expresses regret about the way the policy started and ultimately evolved. They've gone far too far in letting people out, he said in an interview. Dr. Robert H. Felix, who was then director of the National Institute of Mental Health and a major figure in the shift to community centers, says, quote, on reflection, Many of those patients who left the state hospitals should never have done so. We psychiatrists saw too much of the old snake pit, saw too many people who shouldn't have been there, and we overreacted. The result is not what we intended, and perhaps we didn't ask the questions that should have been asked when developing a new concept, but psychiatrists are human too, and we tried our damnedest, close quote. Dr. John A. Talbot, president of the American Psychiatric Association, said, remember that, is in 1984. The psychiatrists involved in the policy making at the time certainly oversold community treatment, and our credibility today is probably damaged because of it. He said the policies were based partly on wishful thinking, partly on the enormousness of the problem, and the lack of a silver bullet to resolve it then as now. I'll go on. Do you know how to solve the problem? We have a problem. The psychiatrists made a mistake. The liberal lawyers made a mistake. They released people from nut houses onto the streets. They have now metastasized into whole armies of bums who are destroying our civility and our way of life. How would you solve this problem? It's a simple question, and there are simple answers. It's not that complicated. You have to ignore the homeless advocates because they're nothing but troublemakers, like the illegal alien advocates who are in it for the money. They're like George Ramos of the homeless. It's that simple. What would you do to stop it? Let's use common sense. If you put sugar on your kitchen floor, you will attract ants. Is that correct? Well, if you put sandwiches in the street for the bums, you will attract more bums. If you spend hundreds of millions of dollars on, quote, homeless services, they will come from surrounding states, as they are doing into San Francisco. So you start by cutting off all the funding. That's number one. Cut out the sugar.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
We're talking about the homeless infestation in the cities of America, specifically San Francisco, where the homeless are now so brazen that they are defecating and urinating in the street in front of young girls, women. They don't care. The mayor is interested only in, let us say, fiscal matters. San Francisco, as you well know, is the toilet bowl of America. That gussies itself up as something special. It really isn't something special. It's something quite other than special in many ways. I live here because I love the weather. I love the wildlife. I despise the politics of the Bay Area. It's almost unlivable. And now, of course, as they say, chickens have come home to roost with the crime wave that's sweeping the city, the illegal alien hordes that have taken over the city who are walking around brazenly like Jorge Ramos on steroids. By the way, speaking of Jorge Ramos, his daughter works for the Hillary campaign. Did anyone say that yet on radio today? I doubt it. We're going to have the sound between Donald Trump, who takes on Mr. Ramos, who thinks he's the savior of the illegal alien, or actually the leader of the illegal alien communities in America. But he got humiliated when he tried to speak out of turn at a Trump press conference. He was put in his place. But it turns out that Ramos is not really just interested in this from the point of view of, let us say, ethical reasons, moral reasons, racial reasons. It's financial. His daughter works for the Hillary Clinton campaign. Jorge Ramos, the amnesty activist, moonlights as a Univision and Fusion journalist. He revealed in June that his daughter is an employee of the Hillary Clinton campaign. And yet he calls himself a journalist. We'll talk more about that on the Savage Nation. How would you solve the mental problem, the problem of mental ill in the streets? It's that simple. KSFO, Fred, you live in San Francisco. What would you do?
Michael, I respect you. I don't know how to tell you this, but it was 1960s and early 70s where all this began. And when those vermin grew up to be political people, such as Pelosi and Boxer, they carried their same philosophy over from 1965.
And that is correct. They never grew up. They're psychotic. By definition, they're psychotics because they're still espousing the failed policies that even the psychiatric community admitted 1984 was a failure.
that when all of these people were taking over for those corporate demonstrations, that Nancy Pelosi said, bless their hearts. Well, bless your heart, Pelosi, and by God, you are...
Right. When the so-called, what would they call the Occupy movement, were taking over the city and causing havoc, Pelosi said she was with them in solidarity. Now, that hasn't stopped the Pelosi clan from making billions of dollars on energy projects, has it?
Do you know how rich they are? And how did they get rich? They got rich politically by inside trading.
Well, how did Dianne Feinstein get rich? Why does that octogenarian Feinstein hang on to her job? How else would she get inside information to benefit herself and her family with? Many people ask this question. I'm not the only one. All right, well, that still doesn't get to the issue of the homeless problem. We know who caused it. We know it was caused by liberalism. How would you solve the homeless scourge that's destroying the city? Mike, WBAP in Dallas, what would you do to solve this problem?
Yes, sir. Well, I have a question for you, my answer. I mean, do you not have a statute that requires that vagrancy be met with the enforcement of the law banning?
No, there is no vagrancy statute in San Francisco that's enforceable. It was eliminated by the psychosis of liberalism quite a while ago. They said that it's a cruel, inhumane to enforce a vagrancy statute. There is no such thing anymore. So bums are not only ejected, they are actually welcomed into a magnet city. San Francisco, as you know, is a magnet for illegal aliens as a sanctuary city. It's also a magnet for the bums of the world who come out here for a free ride. We all know that. And it was one thing when they were just cashing in on it. Now they're taking over the city with their behavior. The question is, how do we solve it? What do we do? What do we the people who live here do? What do people do who rent apartments and own houses? What do they do?
How do they do it? How do the councilmen insulate themselves from the crime? How do they do it?
Well, I don't think that they even see it. They're the type of people who would ignore the problem until it hits them square in the face. Only God forbid if they're affected by it directly, for example, and let's pray to God it would never happen, where the illegal alien who shot that poor young lady, God forbid, touches one of them personally, then maybe they would say something. But other than that, they would just gingerly step over the fecal matter in the streets and dodge the bullets. How would you do it? Denise, KKOH, Reno, Nevada, what would you do to solve the homeless infestations in America?
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I have been a therapist for 23 years in Northern Nevada. I've worked in three mental hospitals and worked with all ranges of the mentally ill and the sadly deranged, because they've drank their brains into a wet brain state, who need a place to be. And one of the older psychiatric nurses that I worked with 20 years ago, and I had this wonderful conversation one night about her memory of working in Napa, and she called it the funny farm, and we had a laugh, and she says, no, seriously, we need funny farms. We need a place for them to go to milk the cows, to get their medicine, to have a purpose, and to be contained. And my vision, if the president wanted to appoint me to that job, would be to reinstitute funny farms in every state. Call them what you will.
Yeah, I agree with you. We must reopen the mental hospitals across America. And it needs to be done sooner rather than later. And that's how you get the dangerous, troublemaking homeless off the streets. That gives them the home that they're entitled to, doesn't it? I mean, it's homelessness. So you give them a mental hospital. That's a bed, meals, and care. Isn't that a humane solution?
Absolutely. And the people who need to be working there are people like me, who are counselors, people who are retired, people in the criminal justice world who want to give back, people who want to serve, but mostly the doctors and the nurses who really do want to care for people who are chronically mentally ill.
All right, so why is it that the homeless coalitions around America continue to insist that they live in the gutters and that we do more for them? The answer is they're raking off fortunes off the money. It's that simple. Do you know how much money San Francisco assigns to the, quote, homeless issue? The last I checked, it was in the $300 to $400 million a year range. How much of that money is raked off by these homeless radical activists who claim that it's for the poor? As you well know, every time they talk about helping someone, they're helping themselves first. Look at their salaries. Look at what they do with the money. It all doesn't go to homeless services. A lot of it goes right into the pockets of the, quote, managers of these homeless brigades.
Truly, and
all right, this is not limited to San Francisco. It's New York. I was in New York. It was awful. And in New York, if I was walking on 6th Avenue at night, one night I couldn't sleep. It was like 5 to midnight. And I got up and I walked from 59th Street to Times Square, which was, what, 49, about a mile. I don't know how long it was at night. And the stores were open. You know, there were people walking back and forth. But amongst the ordinary citizens were vagrants, big vagrants with cups out. And they would look at you. And you sensed as they looked at you that they were sizing you up. Should they move on you, threaten you for a shakedown, or overtly assault you and steal what you had? Well, luckily, I didn't get assaulted, but I felt it was right under the surface. So there are not only mentally ill people in the streets of America, mainly in the big cities, but also there are criminals, overt criminals, who need to be taken off the streets. Now, the cops used to be able to do that. The police used to be able to take the most aggressive of the panhandlers and move them on, move them out, get them away from homes. But it's gotten so bad in New York City right now that even Upper East Side streets with $20, $30 million houses, including the street on which Rudy Giuliani lives, there are bums who are defecating in doorways of mansions with impunity because of the liberalism of Mayor de Blasio, who refuses to permit the cops to drive them off the streets. So, as I said to you, you look at any city run by a liberal mayor, a liberal city council, which are most cities, unfortunately, you're going to see outright bums, crime, knockout games out of control. And this is what's going on. So the answer is, of course, first, it's political. But we can't wait for a change in leadership. Something has to be done before an election. What would you do? If you were the czar to solve this, what would you do to solve the problem? Now, I said open. First, we've covered reopen the mental hospitals, right? That's a given. You start with the mentally ill and you put them where they can get the care that they need. I don't see what's wrong with that. I don't know why anybody would say that that's cruel or inhumane. The liberals are the reason that we have this problem. Kurt, WBAP in Dallas, how would you solve this problem?
Well, first of all, the answer is right there in your break song, the Judas Priest song. Out there is a fortune to be made, and if you think you let it go, you're mad that you got another thing coming. And that's exactly what these liberal politicians do. That's the problem. So how do you stop them from doing that? Well, I guess the best way would be to reestablish the funny farms. I remember growing up and asking my...
Okay, but that's repeating what the last caller just said, so I guess we need to go through the callers now and eliminate the repeat calls. Let's start with some new ideas. How would you do it? KCMO. Steve, what's your solution to the so-called homeless problem?
Well, part of the problem is the numbers they skew. They said they have 75 homeless children in Kansas City, and then I find out they classify any child that's in an apartment... Well, they don't have a home, so they must be homeless. So they get their numbers up to get more funding. But I have a friend that works at a state mental hospital, and she said when the insurance runs out, they're told to certify them as good and put them back on the streets. And that's what they're doing with them. I think we do need the funny farms or whatever, more capacity to house them.
You know what's interesting is I'm the first one in talk radio to talk about this homeless scourge in America in many years. We're all focused on ISIS, and we're focused on the scourge of illegal aliens. Isn't it interesting, by the way, that most of the illegal aliens are not living in the streets? Has anyone noticed that? Raise your hand if you've noticed that most of the bums in the streets of America are not from Mexico, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras, or China. Have you noticed that they're native peoples, meaning indigenous peoples, of several different races, but they're not from the illegal alien population? Does anyone know why? Raise your hand if you can tell us, and George Jorge Ramos, why America's streets, which are flooded with illegal alien, with the homeless bums, don't seem to have any illegal aliens in the gutters. Does anyone know why? I'll give you an answer. Because the illegal aliens are coddled. They have so many social services given to them that they've gone to the head of the line. They are taken care of better than our own poor and unfortunate. Did you know that? That's another little issue, and it's tied to the illegal aliens. The illegal alien issue, rather, is tied to the homeless issue. They're tied together. Again, simple observation from a man who observes Real Life 101, because I walk in the streets. amongst the bums who are panhandling, the aggressive bums, the defecators, the urinators, the ones who curse you if you don't give them money, I almost have never seen an illegal alien, ever. They're all our own. They're all citizens of this country. So why are the illegal aliens not in the streets? Because they're well taken care of. By the way, I talk about this at length in my forthcoming book, Government Zero. I have to mention it because I try to make my books different than most. My books are not Democrat, Republican, Republican, Democrat, Democrat, Republican, and George Washington's false teeth. Government Zero covers this issue very, very clearly, and you can only find it online right now for an advanced copy. But let's go back to the issue itself. Let's go to the callers. Michael, WMAL in Washington, D.C., what's on your mind? How would you solve the problem of the bums in the streets?
Well, this problem was brought up a few thousand years ago. Somebody by the name of Turnus Rufus of Russia, a very wicked Roman king, a Caesar, asked one of the great rabbis, if God really...
Again, we're going to go to the Bible. Would you stop already with the Bible? How would you solve the problem of the bums in the streets?
What I'm talking about. He said, he asked, why, if God really loves the poor, why doesn't he himself support them? Isn't that a question right up your alley, Michael? And the answer is, the rabbi told him, so there should be kindness in the world, so that we shall act kindly toward these people.
Well, that's right. So the way to act kindly is to take them out of the filth in which they are living and put them in a mental care facility where they are cared for. Wouldn't that be kind?
That's false, because what happened was...
Wait, sir, yes or no, would that not be kind to get them out of their own fecal matter and urine and put them in a place where they can be cared for? What is unkind about that?
That would be cruel, because the problem with deinstitutionalization, which happened back in the time you're talking about, and the effort to have normalization, was that there were many people who didn't belong there in the psychiatric
institution. Please, you know, you're getting off the track just to try to sound very smart to your rabbinical students that are sitting there looking at you eating sponge cake. But you're not solving the problem. What would you do to solve the problem?
Something that relates to...
Again, no answer. Can't you ever answer anything without sounding like a rabbi who has nothing to do all day but talk? Give me an answer. 10 seconds or less.
The answer is to pass it forward.
The answer is what?
To pass kindness forward so that everybody acts in a way that they love their fellow.
You're not giving a solution. You're giving nonsense that you would talk to children in a seminary. I want practical answers. What would you do with the bum problem? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-COIN. We're talking about the scourge of the bums in the streets of America caused by liberalism back in the 60s when psychiatrists and politicians said that there are too many people in mental hospitals, we got to release them, and they're snake pits. By 84, it was out of control, and they admitted they made a mistake, and now it's only gotten worse because it's become an industry unto itself with many, many people making fortunes off the bums, including politicians who get the kickbacks running right up to the top. The VIG runs right up into the hands of Congress itself, as you can well imagine. That's how a corrupt nation functions. Now, when I come back, I'll take your answers to this homeless bum problem, which has reached a point of no return in San Francisco. I will also talk about the predictions made in the Bible about the coming global economic collapse, which I talked with you about a month ago. Shemitah, do you remember it? What's coming up in the seven-year cycle on September 13, 2015, the day before Rosh Hashanah? Well, pay close attention.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
You're going to San Francisco, bring a raincoat on your back. And while you're at it, bring a bulletproof nest, a vest. Bulletproof nest, that's funny. What's not funny is the plague of crime and filth in the streets of San Francisco. We've known that the money's been stolen for the highways. That's why the streets are not fixed. We know they steal the federal highway money. That's why we've been calling for an FBI task force to enter the city and take down the corruption, which I thought was going to happen a few weeks ago. But no, nothing came of that one. Then Kate Steinle was shot by an illegal alien with a gun he claims he found, which we know that's the latest excuse the lawyers invent. He shot her in cold blood, probably as a gang initiation. And now yesterday, tourists on Lombard Street were held up by two prize citizens from Oakland who stole his camera. The Thai tourists ran after them. They shot him. And it goes on and on. So we're asking, how do we solve the problem? So we focused in the first hour on the bums, and I asked you how to solve the problem. Everyone agrees, I'll reopen the mental hospitals, which were closed, unfortunately, by Governor Brown's father, Pat Brown. He wrote the law, and Governor Ronald Reagan had to follow the law, and he closed the hospitals and put the bums on the streets. And ever since then, there's been a whole industry around the false compassionate note that they don't belong in hospitals. We got to give them food and put them in, give them houses, and this, it's never worked. It continues to attract more and more of the bums of the world. Now, what's interesting is that while we've been talking about this, I told you that I observed something that I've not read anywhere, which is typical of the Savage Nation. I observed that amongst the, quote, homeless population in San Francisco, I almost never, ever see an illegal alien. It's very interesting. And that is because most of the social service money is being sucked up into the illegal alien community, Mr. Ramos. Most of the money that was designated by the taxpayers to go to the downtrodden is being sucked up by the illegal alien community. And so more and more of our citizens are falling into the gutters without any care. That's another byproduct, Mr. Trump, of the illegal alien influx into America. That should come up in the next set of debates, if this comes up at all. So I want to talk about that, but I also mentioned that I would talk about the biblical prophecies that I read to you a while ago called the Shemitah. And I don't want to tell you that I believe this is 100% true, but I told you that there was scripture about this, about the Sabbath years. And the Sabbath years were very important. In the Bible, the people of Israel were commanded to let the land lie fallow every 7 years. And during the seventh year, there would be no sowing and no reaping. And God took this very seriously. And he took it seriously because he wanted the land to recover its health, just as people need a sabbatical, which is why we usually don't work on Sunday. Most of us understand that. But this, the failure to observe these Sabbath years was one of the main reasons cited in the scriptures for why the Jewish people were punished by God and exiled to Babylon in 586 B.C. Okay, put that aside, because many of you are cynics. On the last day of the Shemitah year, the people of Israel were instructed to perform a releasing of debts. And so let's look at what happened at the end of Shemitah years, going back to 1931. In 1931, a solar eclipse took place on September 12th, the end of a Shemitah year. 8 days later, England abandoned the gold standard, setting off market crashes and bank failures around the world. It also ushered in the month-long stock market percentage crash, the biggest one in Wall Street history, 1931. In 1987, a solar eclipse took place September 23rd, again at the end of a Shemitah year. Less than 30 days later came Black Monday, the greatest percentage crash in Wall Street history. In 1994, a bond market massacre was seen. It's remembered with horror by those who lived through it. Yields on 30-year treasuries jumped some 200 basis points in the first 9 months of the year, hammering investors and financial firms, not to mention thrusting Mexico into crisis and bankrupting Orange County. On 9/11, September 11, 2001, planes were flown into the World Trade Center towers by Muslims from Saudi Arabia. President Bush shut down the banks for 6 days. They were closed on the day before Rosh Hashanah, September 16th, 2001, but they reopened the next day on Rosh Hashanah, September 17th, 2001, and the stock market then dropped more than 700 points. That large decline in the stock market happened on Rosh Hashanah in 2001, which was the beginning of the next seven-year cycle. Just follow me. There's only two more of these. 7 years later, on September 29th, 2008, the day before Rosh Hashanah, that's the Jewish New Year, by the way, September 30th, 2008, the stock market dropped 777 points. That was the largest one-day decline in the history of the market, and it triggered the current Great Recession. This again happened on the day before Rosh Hashanah, 2008. Pay attention now. The current seven-year cycle will end on September 13th, 2015, the day before Rosh Hashanah. What is going to happen? Well, we don't know. I'm alerting you to the trend. This was put together by a man named Jonathan Kahn. He is not predicting an economic collapse on September 13, 2015, but he is alerting the world to this trend going back in time. This information is very important given what happened in the stock markets in America over the last few days. 855-400-7282. Now, let's go back to the other prophecies that Michael Savage has made, the prophecies of the homeless, for example. Why are there so many homeless in America? Are they all mentally ill? Are they all criminals? No. Not by any means are they all mentally ill and homeless. We understand there are people who are just down in their luck. But the question is, how do we solve the problem? Billions of dollars have been thrown at the problem with no solution, because that's what liberals do. They throw money at a problem and they don't solve the problem. What would you do? I'd like to hear from homeless people themselves. It's interesting, by the way, open up some lines to this, would you, Mr. Call Screener? Please let go some of the calls that are repetitive. Here's a homeless gentleman from San Francisco, Jim on line two. Go ahead. You're homeless. How would you solve the homeless problem? Jim, line two, are you there?
Okay.
Go ahead. You're on. No.
All yeah. right.
Well, my call screening equipment is not working, but go ahead. Line two.
Okay, that's fine. All right. So here's what's happening. The government. I'm not working. I haven't worked since the Obama administration. I'm a printer by trade. My industry's wiped out. I'm going to be 60 years old. Okay. I have no support from the government. I don't want any. What I want them to do is leave me alone. I'm in a little warehouse, a 10 by 10, that I have $100 a month that I have to pay for it. Okay. And what the government's doing right now is they're trying to scat us out and put us on the street to control us. I know that's not the answer, but if they could give us housing, and I say could, I don't want anything from the government.
Anymore. Very okay. So you're exactly the opposite of what we're talking about. You're not a criminal, you're not mentally ill, you're just out of work, and you don't know what to do.
House, okay. I'm sorry. Okay.
No, I'm saying. So what would you? Why can't you go to a smaller town and take a job somewhere?
There's okay. If you go to a smaller job, I know this sounds like a cop out. I could go where? I'm in South Florida. The bus system is great. Okay, it's very good. $4 a day. I don't have. I went down for the health insurance in this town. Okay, you know where they told me to go? This is first of all, I was told to go to Little House, which I never heard of. Then they tell me to go. The people in the government are telling me you got to go down under the big tree, and then they'll say that I'm homeless so I can get health insurance. I mean, we are in bad times. You're about the Bible. I'm really nutty about this. I understand there's a lot of people down and out. The government or nobody has work down here. I don't care what they tell you in the market.
Hold it now. Answer this question. You're an American citizen. Amongst the people who you claim, who you see as homeless, do you see any illegal aliens?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And where are they from? What country are they from?
Honduras, Mexico, and I can't, if you want, if you have time, I can tell you. I went to Guam.
Oh, no, because I don't see them in the streets of San Francisco. They're very well taken care of here.
Well, here
they seem to. They get loads of social services if they come here illegally from Mexico. That we know. There's tons of people waiting to help them. There are entire industries of people who help the illegal aliens from Mexico. But I'm saying people like you don't seem to get the care. But you're saying that I'm wrong. You're saying that you see a lot of illegal aliens in your homeless shelters, right?
I don't go to the shelters. I don't want to have anything to do with my government.
All right. So, but where are you seeing these people that you claim you see? Where are they?
Where I live, I'm in a warehouse, buddy. And, you know, strings of warehouses. It's illegal for me to do what I'm doing. And the government...
Okay, but wait. Who's providing the warehouse? Who put this together?
This is a warehouse. It's all, you know, when you put your clothes away, it's not one of those where they're air conditioning.
No, I understand. But is it owned by somebody who provides this housing to people who need it?
No. Well, you know, it's funny you say that. He may, unintentionally, but the government's not going along with that because they're not...
No, you're not answering me, though. Is this someone who owns the warehouse who's renting out space to people who don't have anywhere to sleep?
He's helping them, but he says he's not. He says he doesn't know. But he's basically, like every other capitalist, making a buck.
But does he own the building?
Yes. Well, right now that's about to be repossessed. Well, I'm really sitting on edge to see what happens to me next. I really mean
All right. I hear you. So an individual owns a warehouse... is renting out space under the table to poor people like that. That's interesting. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. When we come back, we'll play some other things and get onto other topics. This issue will not go away unless we talk more about it. How would you solve the homeless infestation in America's cities? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Ladies and gentlemen.
Excuse me, sit down. You weren't called. Sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Go ahead. No, you don't. You haven't been called. Go back to Univision. Go ahead.
You cannot deport 11 million people.
Go ahead.
You cannot deport 11 million people. You cannot deport 1,900
people.
You cannot deny citizenship to children.
Sit down, please. You weren't called.
I'm a reporter and I have...
Go.
So that's Donald Trump tossing out the activist for illegal aliens who wants to be the king of the illegal aliens, George Ramos, whose daughter works for Hillary Clinton campaign, by the way, throwing him out because he wouldn't shut up and he got out of line and he says, go back to Univision. It's an interesting thing that Trump is willing to stand up to these bullies. He stood up to the blonde bully on Fox News. She then took a 10-day leave of absence because she knew she was going to crash Fox News if she came on. They were hit with so many millions of people who were so dissatisfied with her obvious partisanship and working for the liberal side that she took a 10-day, hiatus. Now, George Ramos gets up and tries to stop Trump, and Trump puts him down. I mean, he puts him in his place, puts him where he belongs. And then later on, in clip two, Trump explains why he threw Ramos out. Let's hear clip two.
I don't know really much about him. I don't believe I've ever met him, except he started screaming, and I didn't escort him out. You'll have to talk to security, whoever security has escorted him out. But certainly he was not chosen. I chose you. I chose other people to answer me. You're asking me questions. He just stands up and starts screaming. So, you know, maybe he's at fault also. But I don't consider that. I mean, somebody walked him out. I don't even know where he is. I don't mind if he comes back, frankly.
All right. So then Ramos comes back. The bully from the illegal alien mobs comes back and starts screaming in clip three again. Let's hear three.
You cannot deny citizenship to the children.
Again, the children.
You cannot
racket.
Build our 19.
Why do you say that?
You cannot do that.
Well, a lot of people think, no, excuse me.
You have to change the Constitution.
A lot of people, but a lot of people think that's not right, that an act of Congress can do it.
Okay, and then in clip four, we hear what this is about, the birthright hotels, birth tourism, coming over the border 9 months pregnant. Every 90 seconds, another baby is born here who is not a citizen of a citizen mother. Listen to clip four.
A woman is getting ready to have a baby. She crosses the border for one day, has the baby. All of a sudden, for the next 80 years, hopefully longer, but for the next 80 years, we have to take care of the people. I don't think this... No. I don't think so. Excuse me. Some of the greatest legal scholars, and I know some of the television scholars agree with you, but some of the great legal scholars agree that that's not true. That if you come across... Excuse me. Yeah, just 1 second. No, I am answering.
So Ramos, the noble, the very, very brave Mr. Ramos, who doesn't stand up to his own corrupt government, where crime is rampant, doesn't stand up to the corruption of Mexico, comes here and tries to bully his way onto the stage of Donald Trump, instead gets pounded into sand because he had no basis for his bullying. And he then pushes in clip five about the wall, which you have to hear this one on The Savage Show. Let's listen to five.
Okay. So the question is, how are you going to build a 1,900-mile wall?
Very easy. I'm a builder. That's easy. I build buildings that are 94. Can I tell you what's more complicated? What's more complicated is building a building that's 95 stories tall.
God. Yeah, no, wall is very easy to build. It's been built. Walls have been built since the beginning of time. Every sane nation has built walls to keep out people they don't want in their community. I mean, let's be clear. And let's be very clear. Towns had walls. Forts had walls. Cities had walls. China had a wall to keep out the Mongols. And America needs a wall. There's no question about it. Now you say, well, there's something wrong with the wall. Well, not only if you believe in open borders, but we can see how that's worked out so far. Take a look at what's going on in Europe with their no borders policy because of the EU socialist vermin that are destroying the European Union, flooding them with people that will never, ever assimilate. The crime waves are out of control in Europe. They're going bankrupt because of the illegal aliens. But let's look at the wall itself. It's a very important story, and I've talked about it. Remember when Israel was being subjected to the plague of Palestinian terrorism, when bombs were going off in cafes, buses were being blown up with Jewish children on them? Israel decided to build a wall. The liberals screamed, you can't build a wall. It's racist to build a wall. Israel built a wall. You can't build a wall. It's racist to keep the Palestinians out. Israel built a wall. Have you seen any suicide bombings in Israel recently? No. Why? Walls work. That's simple. Walls work. Don't listen to the college professors. They don't work. They don't know what does. This is The Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
The one thing we're going to start with immediately are the gangs and the real bad ones. And you do agree there are some bad ones. Do you agree with that, or do you think everyone's just perfect? No. I'd ask you a question. Do you agree with that? We have tremendous crime. We have tremendous problems. I can't deal with this. Listen, we have tremendous crime. We have some very bad ones. And I think you would agree with that, right? Okay, there are a lot of bad ones, real bad ones.
All right, so you got Jorge Ramos, the leader of the illegal alien brigades, to admit that there are gangs in the country. Now, how many years have you heard me telling you that about 25 to 30% of all our prisoners are illegal aliens who shouldn't have been in this country to begin with, who've committed very bad crimes and finally got caught? Ever since I began in radio, 94, I've been warning you about this crime issue amongst the illegal aliens, and thankfully, Donald Trump has either read my books or one of his advisors. You would think after all the books, someone's reading them. I mean, if they sell hundreds of thousands each one, someone reads them. Or his advisors extracted this from them. The facts speak for themselves. Borders, language, culture speaks for itself. No sane nation on earth dissolves its borders. No sane nation on earth takes care of the other nation's problems. Especially when it's a basket case itself. We have our own problems to take care of, including the homeless issue, which we are talking about on the show today. And what triggered this today on the Savage program is the fact that there are pictures now, finally, of the bums in the streets of San Francisco so brazen, so out of control, that they are openly defecating in front of tourists in the street. I don't mean in an alleyway. That would be bad enough. That would be a public health issue unto itself, by the way. Has anyone thought about the public health implications of armies of bums who are defecating and urinating in streets? Has anyone thought about what this means from a public health point of view? Are those who are robbing the treasury immune to the stink? Are those who are robbing the treasury, who are allegedly running the country, immune to what is going on to the streets of America? I don't know. What world do they live in? Do they not have children? Do they not have grandchildren? Do they not understand that their policies are failures? No, the answer is their greed is so great that they are blinded by their lust for money. They're so blinded by their lust for raping as much money out of the treasury that they could care less if a bum is crapping in the street or urinating. All they know is that it keeps you off their back. All they know is that, thank God, Savage is talking about that instead of steering contracts to a husband or a wife in the Senate or Congress. Thank God they're focusing on the bums in the street, which tells you exactly why they keep them in our face. They are the armies of the politicians, as are the illegal aliens, the armies of the politicians. And that is how corruption brings a nation to its knees. If you care to comment on any of these topics, we're open for business at 855-400-7282, but I'm looking for solutions. What are the solutions to the issues? It's bad enough to talk about it, but what would you do about it? Kevin on WMAL, line one, go ahead, please. You're up on the Savage Nation.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. I have a two-part solution. The first part of the solution would be to those 25% of illegal aliens that are in the prisons, ship back to their home nations. And what I mean by ship back is put them on a C-10 or C-15, put a parachute on them and give them 5 days worth of rations.
Well, hold it. Now, we cannot talk about throwing people out of airplanes. There are buses that used to be used for deportation. They are no longer running. I live in San Francisco. I've gone past the Department of Homeland Security. I've seen the deportation buses with bars on the windows. They have stopped running south. I guess they're waiting to use the buses to deport the conservatives that remain in the city to Alcatraz. WBAP Dallas. Mary, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say I spent 20 years at the VA hospital in Oklahoma City, and we had a huge population of mentally ill people. And unfortunately, a lot of it was drug-related. And some of those veterans receive $40,000 to $50,000 tax-free dollars a year and, you know, come into the methadone program, get their psychiatric drug, are very addicted to drugs, and are homeless. So I called the regional office. I was like, what can we do? We're giving them, these mentally ill people, $50,000 tax-free dollars a year, and they're homeless. And so we decided, you know, I did a rate of recidivism when they came in, and the ones that just kept coming in after they spent their money, and the ones that would go to, like, St. Anthony's Hospital, and they would call us for a transfer because they were a service-connected veteran, you know, so we paid that bill, the ambulance bill, so on and so forth, we would assign a fiduciary, and that fiduciary would get 5% of their income to manage their money. And
You know, by the way, how much was the ambulance? What's an ambulance charge? Because I know that this is one of the greatest pieces of the crime wave, and one of the greatest costs in our medical care are the scam artists who run the ambulances. You know how much money is made in that?
Sometimes $2,500 per one transfer, and I can tell you.
Bingo. People don't know this. I was told about this by a doctor who warned me not to talk about it on the radio. He was afraid. He said, don't mention my name. But there's a certain subgroup of immigrants in America who run the ambulance services. They've taken them over. But keep going now. Maybe we'll get to the bottom of how to solve the problem if we expose the problem itself. There are billions of dollars being made off the, quote, homeless problem, billions of dollars being made off the illegal alien problem, which is why they're not solved. That's what you're saying and what I'm saying, right?
Yes, exactly. And when you give them drugs, when you enroll them in a methadone program to get them off their heroin, which is basically synthetic heroin, and then you turn around, you know they're in this program, why would you give these people who spend every dime, why would you give them money to buy drugs? We're keeping them addicted.
Well, let's start with the drug issue. Methadone is more addictive than heroin, isn't that correct?
That's my understanding, yes.
That's my understanding. The drug methadone was invented to take people off heroin. Everyone in the business knows it's more addictive than heroin. It's harder to kick. But if you go back to heroin itself, did you know that heroin was synthesized as a cure for morphine addiction? You see, in the 1890s, 1900 era, morphine was very popularly used in the West, and it was legal. And so many people became addicted to morphine that they came up with a synthetic version of morphine called 3,6-diacetylmorphine. They added two molecules to the morphine structure, and they created a synthetic morphine called heroin, thinking it was the miracle cure. Heroin became more addictive, as you know, than morphine. Now methadone is a pure synthetic, and that's far more addictive than heroin. So the pharmaceutical industry is very clever in producing problems in the guise of solutions. And Big Pharma is as much involved in this mess as any other industry. So what's the solution in your mind? Cut out the drugs?
not just cut out the drugs, and you're right, the big pharma, we actually forbid pharmaceutical salesmen in the Oklahoma City VA. We were one of the top 10% in the country, not just VA, but nationwide hospitals. But, you know, that's a big part of it, is keep that out. And don't, you know, if you're going to go to the trouble to enroll someone in a methadone program, let them stand in line for hours on a Monday to get their methadone, why wouldn't you put them through withdrawals, give them the IVs they need, the fluids and whatever vitamins they need to withdraw, and do that comfortably, and then again, you know, monitor them and see what their condition is, and if they're mentally ill, do not give them drugs, number one. Number two, don't turn someone that is mentally ill, do not give them their money, and don't give it to their family, because I cannot tell you the horrific...
Right, and by the way, all of these millions of people who are so addicted to drugs and say they're incapable of working, who do you think it was who picked the grapes, picked the lettuces? Who was doing this work in past generations but those on the bottom of the social order? And today, instead of working, we're taking care of them, and we are bringing in armies of illegal aliens to do the work that others, quote, won't do. But if you read The Grapes of Wrath by the great American writer John Steinbeck, you will see that it was the white man, the Okie, who picked the grapes, who lived on the bottom, who lived in these camps, the migrant camps. The Dust Bowl was created in Oklahoma when cyclones went through Texas and Oklahoma, wiped out farms. They didn't turn to the government for help. There was no government help. They got in their rickety pickup trucks, and they went west to California, where there were scant jobs picking fruit, picking lettuce, picking fruits and vegetables. And whole families came out from those areas of the Dust Bowl, and they toil 12, 16, 18 hours a day, living in virtual internment camps that were worse than the Japanese internment camps, by the way. And they built themselves up from the bottom. And today, some of you are listening to the show whose parents or grandparents were vegetable pickers and fruit pickers. They didn't cry about it. They just did the work. And today, instead of using people to do the work who are citizens, we say to them, no, we'll give you money instead. Well, what would you do? Would you pick lettuce in the hot sun, or would you take a check and a hot shot from the government, from a government hot shot willing to give you a hot shot? And so the answer is to stop catering to those on the bottom and start healing them and making them go to work and put them in the fields. Make them do the manual jobs that nobody supposedly will do. And then you will have a solution to two problems at once. You'll have a solution to the illegal alien problem, because the jobs will be given to those people, and you'll get the bums off the streets, and that's it, and I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN.
They looked at some of the gangs in Baltimore. They looked at some of the gangs in Chicago. They looked even in Ferguson. They got some rough, illegal immigrants in those gangs. They're getting out. You mind if I send them out? Now, if they come from Mexico, do you mind if I send them back to Mexico? No, no. Do you mind if I send them back to Mexico? Okay, those people are out. They're going to be out so fast your head will spin.
See, he's the only one using common sense. It's as simple as that. He even got the bully Ramos to shut his big yap for 2 seconds and try to bully his way onto the podium. See, they're so used to running over the wimps in the Republican Party, and they're so enabled by the Democrat, Socialist, Islamist machine under Obama, that they're used to just running over America like they own it. Now someone comes along, a new sheriff in town, Donald Trump, who says, do you mind if I get rid of the dangerous gang? So even George Ramos has to say, okay, put him in front of it. So now we're talking about San Francisco, and again, if you're on the internet or want to go tonight, it's really sickening. You'll see a bum with his pants down. I'm going to be graphic without being vulgar. And he is openly defecating in the streets of San Francisco, like a dog, like a dog. Now, not all homeless are like this, but there's plenty of them who are. They have gotten brazen because the police have been told hands off. Just as there's a spike in violent crime in New York because the cops can no longer stop and frisk the bad ones. They knew who they were. They could see them coming from a mile away. And under Bloomberg, they were able to pull them over, get the guns out of their hands, and stop the crime. But because the lunatic de Blasio has these the liberal mentality that you can't do this, so crime is spiking. Same in San Francisco. The cops can do the job. They're willing to do the job, but they have been handcuffed by Obama and the trickle-down crime wave of Obama. And so now the bums are running with impunity and defecating, urinating. I can't tell you how disgusting the city is. I went in and left on Sunday within 30 minutes. I couldn't stand it. It's a filthy place. It's a violent place, and somebody has to do something about it. Not one word from Barbara Boxer. Not one word from Nancy Pelosi. I guess she's still on a vacation with the billionaires and millionaires that she hates so much. And then there's the other story that's sickening of the killer at a TV station in Virginia, black guy, by the way, who had fabricated claims of racism, got fired. He comes up with a gun, and he executes two people and videotapes it and puts it on Facebook. It's heartbreaking to watch the young woman being killed. And I had to put it up on michaelsavage.com because there's a bigger story here. The biggest story is the crime wave that's running through America under Obama, who has basically handcuffed the police. That's the biggest story. It has some racial overtones in it, by the way, which you can figure out on your own. If you'd like to see some of the racial overtones, you can see it in the video on the left side for InfoWars of a white female churchgoer in her 70s who is robbed inside a cathedral by two individuals, let us say, of another race, who come in, rob her, and then punch her in the face. Now, I got to tell you what it's like. She's in her 70s, and one of these animals punches her with full force, a flying punch into her head. You know what could kill her? That, to me, is attempted homicide. When they arrest this individual, he should be tried for attempted murder instead of being given a slap on the wrist. Here she is attacked inside a cathedral in a so-called knockout game incident. They're doing it for fun. Why is it being done for fun? Because your president, your former attorney general, your street thug Al Sharpton, they have intimidated the police. They've told them they're racist for doing their job. We now have a crime wave that's out of control in America. It's tied into the homeless wave, which has been with us a lot longer than Obama. It goes back to Governor Brown's father, Edmund G. Pat Brown, who opened up the nut houses and threw them out in the streets. Probably well-meaning, by the way. He was a nice guy. He was a good governor, and he meant well. He wanted to free those in the mental hospitals who didn't belong there, and instead we got what we have now. And as I read you a report from 1984, even by 1984, the American Psychiatric Association, which was still rational at the time, not infested yet by drug addicts and maniacs, the American Psychiatric Association in 1984 admitted that their humanitarianism was overdone. They made a mistake. They shouldn't have opened the mental hospitals. They admitted it. And today we're suffering through the homeless scourge. So we have armies of illegal aliens that need to be deported. We have armies of homeless that need to be given nice, clean surroundings in mental hospitals if they're sick, drug treatment if they're sick, and be put to work or not collect a dime. No ticky, no laundry, as they used to say in my day. No welfare, I'm sorry. If you're able-bodied, you go and you get a job. We're not giving you food, we're not giving you clothing, we're not giving you housing. There's plenty of work down in the lettuce fields of the Central Valley. And once these jobs are taken by these people who are living high on the hog, on the milk and honey of the rest of us who provide it, then it will dry up the jobs for the illegal aliens, and they'll have to find work in their own country. That is a double solution. I don't see what's so wrong with this. I know it sounds revolutionary in a time of liberalism, but it's commonsensical when you think about it. And again, I spell it all out in Government Zero, my next book, which will be out in October. And yes, it's an important story. It's important enough for me if they've spent 1 year talking about solutions to all of the problems for America's loss of its borders, language, and culture under the most divisive, evil president imaginable. A man who has done more harm to this country than a foreign army could have done. That's one man's opinion. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of unprotected thought, borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Yeah, all right, we know the rest of the story. Take a look. That's all. You got the techies living in million-dollar hovels, $2 million hovels, and then you got hordes of illegals in the street, hordes of homeless. They're crapping in the street, urinating in the street. Russian Hill shooting leaves a tourist wounded. Two suspects from Oakland who were caught by a tax squad as they sped back over the bridge. In other words, there's a crime wave because of liberalism in San Francisco, and no one is willing to admit that it's a philosophical problem as much as anything else. Then we have Donald Trump standing up to the bully of puny vision. I just coined a new phrase, which will be stolen before it leaves my mouth, but you remember where you heard it first. I'm known for coining phrases. I've just changed univision to puny vision, because puny vision is represented by the puniest man in the media, Jorge Ramos. Puny in the sense of emotions, puny in the sense of intellect, puny in the sense of his self-importance. He tried to take over the Trump press conference, and this guy, George Ramos, of puny vision, got pounded into cement, into sand. He thought he would bully him, take him down. He thought he would be a big shot. But the fact of the matter is, if Ramos of puny vision was so brave, he'd shoot his big mouth off in Mexico City like that, or he'd shoot it off in Guadalajara like that. But, you know, they don't do it over there. Here they come over here, and they try to do to us what they're afraid to do over there. They try to dump on our candidates who stand up for borders, language, and culture. I have faced it for 20-some-odd years in a minor, not such a minor key. I had marchers outside my radio station a few years ago that were quite frightening. There was an army of them. They had been bussed in by the radical left in San Francisco to try to drive me out of the city. They almost succeeded, by the way. Okay, so we have two problems. We have puny vision and Ramos, that interchange. And then we have the bum problem. How would you solve the bum problem? And before we do it, I'd like to play a few more San Francisco songs just to get you in the mood. How about we play Jeanette McDonald's San Francisco? I love that one because it's so campy. We played Otis Redding sitting on the dock of the bay. Yeah, right. It's not whatever. Did we play the Animals yet, San Francisco Nights? Let's play the Animals. Let's play that one. We played
this. Yeah. Following program is dedicated to the city and people of San Francisco who may not know it, but they are.
Turn it off. I don't have the patience. That's all. The times have changed. Not funny anymore. Now, my favorite is Journey, because that shows me the beauty of San Francisco, which I can still see through the fogs of the problems. But I don't want to play it. I want to take your calls. KSFO, Jeffrey, you live in San Francisco. What's your solution to the homeless bum problem?
Yes, Dr. Savage. First off, I just want to tell you I appreciate you taking the time every day to let everybody in America know what needs to be done. And I appreciate you speaking to the youth. I am a rarity. I'm 31 years old. And there's hardly anybody around.
All well and good, well and good. But what would your solution be?
My solution would be, first off, to eliminate all these benefits. You know, I went down to the welfare office to study, and I picked up the packet to see what it would require. If you're an illegal, it says in the first line, are you an undocumented? If you are, don't bother filling out the rest of this. Take it to the window. If you're an American citizen, you have to provide everything that you could imagine in terms of, you know, proving what your worth is.
So the country is upside down. We've all catered to puny vision, and we're afraid of puny vision. And as a result, the illegals go to the head of the line, and American citizens go to the back of the bus.
Yes, sir. And you're required as an American citizen to fill out like a 30-page packet. And if you don't have everything available, they'll deny you. But if you're an illegal, they immediately give you financial aid to go to school. They immediately give you benefits that day for your children. It doesn't matter how many you have. And if you're an American citizen, you're denied, and you may have to wait weeks. Whereas it specifically states on the paper here in Sacramento at the health office, are you an illegal undocumented? If so, please go to the window. You don't have to fill out any other information.
How many years ago did I start calling the DMV, the Department of Mexican Voting? When I started saying that 10 years ago, people called me every name under the sun. You and I both know that the motor vehicle bureaus were turned into motor voter bureaus by Janet Reno first, then Janet Napolitano, and the DMV is, in fact, the Department of Mexican Voting. That is how a corrupt one-party system has emerged in California and New York, for that matter.
Yes, sir. And without a doubt, like, I went to renew my driver's license with my grandmother last month, who has Alzheimer's, and she's from Arizona. So she didn't have a valid California state license to walk in and renew a license. They made her go through all these hoops just to get another driver's license, where once again, if you're an illegal, all you have to do is walk into DMV and state you're undocumented, and they'll immediately...
You know how many emails I get every day from white women who are being intimidated in these DMVs by illegal aliens who glower at them? They stare at them, they glower at them, they intimidate them. They're trying to chase them out of the Motor Vehicle Bureau with their hatred. I get this all the time, and no one ever talks about it. You know, there's a lot of crime, and there's a lot of subsurface violence. You know, you want to call microviolence? There's a lot of microviolence being committed by the illegal aliens towards the indigenous population, and this has to be reported. We hear about white privilege. How about illegal privilege? Aren't you now talking about illegal alien privilege?
Well, it's also like there's no such thing as reverse racism. You know, I take sociology classes here at Sac State, and my professors continuously speak in class about how there's no such thing as reverse racism. It's a
Well, what you say to them is, excuse me, racism is racism no matter where it comes from. But we're talking now about the armies of illegal aliens who have been let in by Governor Brown and the machine that runs the state in order to keep them in power. And we're talking now about the consequences of that in the form of the homeless people who are not given as many services as the illegals. Isn't that, do you agree with me that that's tied in? That so much money is going to the illegals that a lot of it isn't getting over to the people in this country who are at the bottom like the bums?
Yes, it's to win votes. If you bring in enough illegal aliens who support the socialism of America, give it a few more years and we will no longer have a conservative Republican vote. I've heard it in my class alone. My teacher since 2008 has been preaching, Obama, Obama, Hillary, Hillary, no more Republicans. And I mean, this is actively taught in schools and colleges in one of the most populated cities in California. Now,
well, we know about the professors. We know who they are. They've never worked for a living because they don't have the capacity to get real jobs. So instead, they brainwash the young who have no way to fight back. And now we have a television network, Punivision, sending one of their loudmouths here to try and take Donald Trump down. But Punivision wasn't too happy when their anchor got thrown out on his behind for ranting and raving like a madman. Jeffrey, thanks for listening to the Savage Nation. But I still don't see the problem. Put them in the bug houses, number one. Number two, clean them up and make them take the menial jobs. That would help a lot. I think that would help a lot. Let's look at some of the other news that's on the various websites. Again, I can't tell you the graphic footage from InfoWars. The complete video shot from the Virginia killer's point of view is heartbreaking to watch this woman being executed by this maniac. A killer who was fired after fabricating claims of racism goes back and kills this woman, and the newsman just shoots them point blank. And if you want to watch a sick thing like that, go ahead. Or if you got the heart to look at the San Francisco bum defecating openly in the street like a dog, go ahead, look at that. How to solve San Francisco's homeless problem? Well, there's no solutions in the newspaper. They come up with always a joke. Everything to them is a joke, a giddy little solution to everything. But the fact of the matter is, this city is going downhill very fast. The aggressiveness of the bums, the filth of the bums needs to be stopped. Apparently Super Bowl 50 is coming, and the city fathers, so to speak, are getting a little nervous about the bum problem. What they're actually going to do is another story. What is the alternative? What is the mayor proposing as an alternative? We don't know the answer, but the fact of the matter is the health issues themselves should dictate a solution. What would you do to get rid of the bum problem in San Francisco? KSFO Victor, you live in this area. What would you do?
I just wanted to stand on the last caller. They say it's unrealistic to support all these illegals, and I say you wouldn't have to support them all. Started removing all their benefits, and not just their social benefits, but their benefits to find employment, their benefits to open a bank account, their benefits to rent and buy homes, etc. All of this stuff is not illegal to illegal immigrants of this country. And one more side note about the wall. You know, forgive me for being logical about this, Mr. Savage, but, you know, we can't build a wall, right? We can launch a rocket into space to intercept an object millions of miles away, but we can't build a wall? Come on now.
No, a wall is very easy to build. The Israelis did it, and the suicide bombings have come to near zero once they kept the Palestinian terrorists on their side of the wall. There's no question that if the Israelis can do it, we can do it. And they say, well, how many miles it is? So what? What does the length have to do with it? We have the resources. We can use the resources to build a wall. I agree with you. That would help an awful lot. Yes, build the wall, Donald Trump. Go and build the wall. It's that simple. Let's go to the solution on the bum things. Let's see. WABC, Robert, what's your solution to the bum problem?
Yes, sir. I think we should reinstitute the WPA, the CCC, put them all in the old closed military camps, room and board, medical care, give them vocational training at night, and in the daytimes have them go out and do laborer work in the agricultural, the infrastructure, the forest to stop all the fires.
Well, that's true. That's who used to do this. The people on the bottom who couldn't do anything else did these kind of jobs. Now, because we have basically an easy ride, you know, with a welfare state, they'd rather stay home and smoke crack.
Yes, but if they won't go into the camps to be reeducated, learn the work, and live like decent people, then you put them in the crazy houses because you have to be crazy to not take that over living in the streets.
Oh, okay, so what you're saying is you have a two-tier solution. You start the government WPA and CCC camps, which I'm very familiar with, because believe it or not, some of my father's friends actually worked in the CCC camps, which I can talk about at some length. There were no paradises there, I can guarantee you that. That was really hard work. Are you an older guy?
Yes, sir. But my grandfather was in the CCC, and he told me stories about it. And he goes, it's the best thing that ever happened to me. And after the war ended, he finished his life as a park ranger until he retired.
Yeah, and my father's friend went in the CCC. He was a rough kid from the streets of New York. Those were the Civilian Conservation Corps. And he said that they did exactly what you're talking about. He said, we shoveled for 8 hours straight. He said, you have no idea what muscles you'll discover in your body when you're moving a shovel all day long digging ditches or cutting down trees in a forest. You find out how you're actually built after that, and you come home harder than you will from working out in a gym for an hour a day. Kind of eliminate the need for a gym if you worked in the CCC camp. All right, that's something to think about. No one's thinking about it. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COIN. Later. All right, a little more information is coming out about that so-called reporter who shot and killed two former co-workers on live TV. They say in the Fox News that he was a gay black man, a murderer filled with anger. He was feared in the newsroom. He threatened everybody, and he sent the manifesto of anger. He was well known as a troublemaker and a bully, and it's all on FoxNews.com. There you go. Poor girl is dead, and the poor guy is dead. He killed him in cold blood. And that's it. That's what's going on under the surface in America. A nation of rage because it's man against woman, race against race. It's unbelievable what this man has provoked in this country. He has so divided this nation. It is a more hateful place than I've ever seen in my lifetime as a result of this wonderful man from a man filled with hope and change. Well, here's the hope and the change. I guess he's gotten exactly what he wanted, the transformation of a nation that was already rocky to one that's almost crumbling. Let's pray to God we survive what's left of this regime's time in the White House and that we get Donald Trump to try to clean up the rubble. I don't know if anyone could clean up the rubble after what this guy is doing, and God knows what he's going to do next. All right, let's go on to the callers, line 6, on which topic and what's your solution to this issue. Go ahead, please.
Oh, well, I'm not calling with a solution. I was just calling with an article that appeared on SF Weekly. Mayor Lee tells the homeless to leave during the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Isn't one to let human rights get in the way of a dollar. as his latest tone-deaf remarks on the...
Wait a minute, he's telling the homeless to leave when the Super Bowl comes to town. Well, this is not unprecedented. Dianne Feinstein chased the homeless out of San Francisco when she was mayor. Do you know that? I remember it. It was a laughing line at the time. The DNC, the Democrat National Committee, was coming to town. Feinstein was mayor. She paved the streets from the airport to the downtown where they were going to meet, and she got rid of all the homeless for that week that they were in town. Do you know that? This is how fascists operate. This is what they do. This is what they do, and then they go back to their normal ways. So this is nothing new. Where are they going to move the homeless to, though? Where are they going to send them up to Lake County? Where are they going?
Well, he doesn't say. He just says, we'll give you an alternative. We're always going to be supportive, but you'll have to leave the streets. So,
but where do they go? Where are they going to move them to? Sonoma Square?
Are they
going to bring them to the Marin County Civic Center grounds? They could pitch tents for them there. After all, that's in Barbara Boxer's backyard, and I'm sure that she would welcome them in her county of Marin. And all of the other good liberals in Marin who read the San Francisco newspapers, though it's the Holy Grail, I'm sure that they would welcome in their own homes. I think that they should put out a call for all of the good white people in Marin to open their homes up, their empty nests, to the homeless for a couple of weeks during the Super Bowl. Wouldn't that work?
That's a solution, yeah.
Yes, solution is right there. All of the good liberals who are so very, very good should open their homes up to the homeless for a few weeks. Let's see how that works out. But let's get serious here. What would you do to end the homeless bum? I don't know. It's a problem in all American cities, but it's the worst in San Francisco. They're brazen, defecating in the streets, urinating in the streets, aggressive panhandling. What would you do to end this scourge in this city? It stinks so badly, I ran out of the city on Sunday, 30 minutes after getting into town. That's how bad it is.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
All I can say is if you come to San Francisco, don't come with a flower in your hair. Come with galoshes and a raincoat. Even if it's dry out, you're going to need it to wade through the piles of urine and defecation being left by the sacred homeless, the equivalent of our untouchables in this liberal city on the bay. What started out as well-meaning by the American Psychiatric Association has turned into a scourge upon civilized society, and there needs to be solutions. And as I've said from the outset of this discussion, the solutions range from build them all a house to put them into a mental hospital. And the fact of the matter is there's a little truth in all of it. But no, what, you want to build them a house? Have you seen what they do to the quarters they are given to live in? Has anyone ever looked at what they do to the places they're given to live in? Are they livable? Are they habitable? No, they're not. They don't take care of them. Usually if someone is given something for nothing, they don't take care of it. Whether it's a housing project where we have tens of millions of American citizens doing nothing. Nothing, just sitting, existing. Take a look at Baltimore, what the housing projects gave us. So we have a disease in America. It's a philosophical disease of ultra-tolerance. You thought I was going to say liberalism, but I didn't. Ultra-tolerance is killing us. Let's stop using the word liberal and liberalism because we all have heard it so many times we're immune to it. It's the word, the phrase ultra-tolerance is killing us, which I used in 1994. And that's why a small man from Puny Vision can come to America and try to step on the only candidate worth listening to, Donald Trump. Jorge Ramos, George Ramos, whatever his name is, works for a television show called Puny Vision, a station, a network owned by NBC, I guess. I don't know who owns who. But Puny Vision sends this guy, this thug, this bully into America and tries to run our country for us. George Ramos from Puny Vision wants to come here and bully him off the stage. Well, it didn't work. Because he figured his minions are the armies. Behind them, everyone would cater to them. Like the Democrats, you know, every day they tell us, the Hispanic vote this, the Hispanic vote that. Well, that's fine. That's well and good. But there are other votes in America, like the African-American vote, those who work for a living in the white community, the Caucasian vote. How about the Asian-American vote? Why does no one ever talk about the Asian-American vote? What, they're already dismissed, that they don't count? So let's not overestimate the Hispanic vote, number one. And number two, I'll tell you something else about it. I predicted this weeks ago, and it was long before anybody else said it would happen, and the data has proven it. The Hispanics love Donald Trump. They want a strong leader. If let me put it to you this way. Use common sense. Try to not think through the rose-colored glasses that you were taught to wear in college. Let's say you come into a country that's so stupid that it lets you walk right over its border, a nation that's so stupid that it puts you ahead of the line, a nation that is so stupid that it gives you every benefit whatsoever, even though you haven't worked a day in the country. What would you do the minute you started to accrue any money? Well, maybe you'd send some home to your mother or your father to help them come here so they too can cash in on this stupid society. But what you'd also do is you try to get your foothold in this new country, and you'd want to get that little house with a white picket fence. You'd want to buy yourself a pickup truck, and you want to buy yourself some nice clothing. Now, who would you elect to run this country? Would you elect an idiot? A socialist idiot like Bernie Sanders who's going to take your money away from you after you earned it? Would you vote for an old hag like Hillary Clinton, who you well know is nothing but an untrustworthy mouthpiece for special interests? Or would you vote for a very wealthy American man who embodies the very things you wish one day you could have or your children could have? That's why Trump is popular amongst even the Hispanic illegal alien group in this country. Now, you're not going to hear this on Punivision. Because Puny Vision is an arm of the Mexican government, and of course they want to dump the people from their country that they can't take care of on us. I would do it too if I lived in Mexico and ran the country. If I had millions of people who couldn't make a living and I couldn't support, of course I would send them to a country that's stupid enough to do it for me. And that's why this is becoming such a hot issue. But it's not a new issue. It's an old issue, by the way. And then we have some spillover effects, and that is, most of the social service money is being sucked up into the illegal alien community, as you well know, and a lot of it's not getting down to the people who need it on the bottom, who have lived here all of their lives. Those would be the homeless, so-called. And that's they're interrelated problems, by the way. If you want to talk about that, let's talk about that. Let's see. KBOI, Jim, welcome to the Savage Nation. Your solution, please.
Thank you, Mike. Hey, listen, we don't need a fence, Michael. All you have to do is cut the cream off, cut the funding. We didn't have this problems in the 50s and 60s. It's that simple. You cut that off, and the riffraff will stop. The ones that we want to come over, the hardworking folks, guest worker program, that's it. And the corruption in politics.
Well, what you're saying is cut out the social services for non-citizens?
Well, exactly. I mean,
But you see, here's a problem. The biggest linchpin in that problem are the anchor babies. Because if someone has a baby here, then the mother automatically becomes a citizen. And she can bring in the father, if there is one that she knows of, and the uncle and the aunt and the grandfather. And so the first problem is the 14th Amendment, which was never written to permit non-citizens to become citizens. Never was it intended for that. Do you remember I read the actual author of the amendment back in the 1860s on this show last week? Did you happen to hear that?
I listened to your show a lot. I don't know if I picked that up or not.
No, everyone missed it. I was in New York, and I had the best research on this subject in the United States of America. I actually read the 14th Amendment as written by the senator who wrote the law and what he intended. And it's shocking. He said it was never intended for non-citizens, meaning non-Americans, to become citizens. Never. Never. He said that. It was not intended for non-Americans to be made citizens with this amendment. But it was stolen by the, I'll call them the ultra-tolerant brigades, who live off the illegal aliens and live off the other people who are benefiting from these benefits. Benefits. I love the word benefit itself. See, I'm a former social worker, and I think that's important for you to know so you don't think I'm a bad guy. Back in the 60s, one of my first jobs was that as a social worker, because I was a very idealistic young man. Came out of college. I've been brainwashed into being a good boy. And as Winston Churchill said, if you don't have a heart at, if you don't have a heart at 20, how did he put it? Whatever. I can't even think of it right now. If you're not a liberal at 20, you have no heart. And if you're still a liberal at 40, you have no mind. It was something along those lines. I'm paraphrasing and making it into my own. So I was a good young liberal guy, and I went to work as a social worker. And I found out how well those on welfare were being treated compared to me. I was a young college graduate. I was making $5,500 a year, and I was sleeping on a mattress in a rental apartment in Flushing, New York, commuting to Manhattan and working on the Upper West Side of Manhattan as a social worker. And I had to go into these houses, and they were called clients, by the way, even then. The welfare recipients were already being called clients, don't you know? Not welfare recipients, but clients. All right, so I go in there and this and that, and I would see things going on, like they weren't allowed to have telephones, and they keep the phone underneath the bed. And once the phone started to ring, and I said, Mrs. R, don't you think you want to answer your bed? It's ringing, and stuff like that. I turned it into jokes that I turned into a play that's not yet been published. It may be published in the near future. You know, things I saw as a young social worker. But what was not funny to me was here I was, a native-born American, college graduate, living worse than the welfare recipients. Why do I say that? I'll give you an example. My supervisor told me to get out the checkbook when I came back to the office, the New York City Welfare Department. And she said, okay, well, mark it down. One bed, $140. Two nightstands, $80 each. Coffee table, $80. Sofa, $110. Two lamps, $150, and so on. And it was about $3,000. And I said, wait a minute. I have to take this check from the welfare department and give it to Mr. R to buy furniture? I said, I'm sleeping on a mattress on the floor. She said, well, we feel that any civilized family needs to have furniture in the apartment to feel good about themselves and go out and be a productive citizen. That was the beginning of my road from liberalism to where I am now. I don't say it happened instantly, but boy, did my eyes open to what a welfare state was and how nutty it really was. That's a true story. Later on in life, after killing myself to get a PhD, and I'll say it again till you finally hear it, I was a high school teacher, and I wanted to be a college teacher. It was my greatest goal. So I earned two very high-end master's degrees, publishing both as papers in major journals, and then I got a PhD from the University of California at Berkeley, because I was told by all my liberal professors that a PhD was a union card, and that once I got the PhD, I automatically would have a tenured professorship, so I could do my research, and I could, you know, have an enjoyable life. Well, unfortunately for me, the ACLU said that some of you white people will just have to put your lives on hold while others get ahead of you. Those are the exact words, that you'll have to put your life on hold so others can advance in society. Well, I was one of those who had to put his life on hold. I had two young children. I wanted to teach. I was rejected from 200 colleges with an almost straight A average and six published books at the time. And they were hiring people who were far less qualified than I was, which is why the universities have degenerated into the smoldering ruins that you see now. And so I then had to go out into the wilderness of the job market for 20 some odd years until I discovered that I had other talents. And here I am years later as a very successful broadcaster and writer. I always was a writer, but okay, I've achieved a certain degree of success. The fact of the matter is, I'm not complaining about it, but the cauterization that occurred as a result of those years of wandering in the desert, because the socialism of our country had already penetrated every avenue of our society, that is what really turned me into who I am today. I became an utter realist. And I learned that in order to survive, you better open your eyes as to what's really going on. So here I stand before you, now talking about today, bums defecating in the streets of San Francisco, urinating openly, Kate Steinle being shot by an illegal alien, the crime, by the way, still not being talked about anymore. It's as though she died for nothing. And so we have real problems, social problems in this country. And I believe that it's a philosophical problem behind it all. Not I believe, I know it is. I don't believe it at all. I know it. I know it for a fact that it's a philosophical issue rather than a strict social issue. And the philosophy is that of ultra-tolerance versus realism. I'll be right back to talk about the latter, not the former.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUYCOIN. All right, this just came in the New York Post. You heard about this terrible situation of the fired reporter who killed a woman reporter and a newsman, shooting a point-blank range. Thank God this animal is dead. He said, what sent me over the top was the church shooting. On-air killer wanted a race war. The animal in the deadly on-air shooting of a reporter and cameraman in Virginia said the Charleston Church massacre made him snap, telling ABC News in a rambling manifesto that he wanted to spark a race war between blacks and whites. Quote, my name is Bryce Williams. Why did I do it? I put down a deposit for a gun on 6/19/15. The church shooting in Charleston happened on 6/17/15, wrote Vester Lee Flanagan II, a former on-air reporter who worked at Roanoke affiliate WDBJ under the name Bryce Williams. He said, what sent me over the top was a church shooting, and my hollow point bullets have the victim's initials on them. As for Dylan Roof, you blank, you want a race war blank? Bring it on then, you white blank. Williams added that that Jehovah spoke to him, telling him to target on-air reporter Allison Parker and cameraman Adam Ward during a... Well, I don't have to read anymore. All you know is that you have a deranged evil man who had tried to use the race card before when he was fired for being a troublemaker. And he was such a liar that even the EEOC, which is stacked in his favor, threw the case out. So, claimed to have been a constant victim of racism, sexual harassment, and bullying. And he said most of it was because he was a gay black man. All right, so you get the whole picture. Meanwhile, he snapped, so to speak. And he killed his poor woman and the sound man, and then killed himself when the cops finally caught him in a ditch and this and that. What are you going to make of a story like that? What can you say about a thing like that? What in the world can you say other than, what kind of country am I living in? Well, who are you going to blame for it? You got a lot to blame. Easy access to guns. Easy access to excuses. Let's say Obama's war on the police. Let's say Al Sharpton's war on the police and white people. Let's say the loose tongues of Eric Holder for so many years, blaming the police for policing. Things like that. You know, it all adds up. It's like a trickle effect. Eventually, it takes the weak people and it gets into their psyche and they snap. So there are results of this kind of a talk by government officials who trigger these things. That's all. It's 55 minutes after the hour, and there are many, many crazy stories out there. Let's go to the Drudge Report, who has been carrying the story since the early part of the day. Reporter murdered live on air, media shock. We've seen that. The San Fran bum. Literally, it's so disgusting that I talked about it for 2.5 hours. And the reason it's happening... The reasons it's happening are manifold. It started with the release of the mentally ill from the hospitals under Edmund G. Pat Brown, who wrote passed the law under him. Reagan inherited the law and had to enact the law, and the mental hospitals were closed, and the bums were put into the street. The mentally ill ones were put in the streets under the theory that mental hospitals were very evil. It was a snake pit, and they deserved better. You know the whole liberal story. So now we have this many, many years later, and the answer, of course, is to reopen the mental hospitals, stop giving them drugs and food, and make them work for a living. They want a check. They want a welfare. If you're able-bodied, you work. I mean, there are solutions to the problem. And then if you put these armies of the homeless, the able-bodied ones, to work in the valleys and the orchards, picking the fruit, initially they will not be able to do it. They'll refuse to do it. But you know, hunger is an amazing motivator. Hunger is one of the most amazing motivators for work that God has ever created. Did you know that? If you give a man a fish, he won't fish. If you give a man a fishing rod, he's liable to go out and fish.